I'm glad I'm saved. The Lord's done a lot for us on the cross. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We ought to be turning our hearts toward Him and our ears toward heaven this morning and see what He's got for us. We get so traditional. Brother Tim had said, we sing Amazing Grace. We listen to the preacher preach and sort of like just the run of the mill. You know, the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we do need preaching this morning. And you pray for us. I do desire your prayers this morning. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the Bible says, now faith is. I'm glad He tells us what it is. You see, faith is not some wistful thinking, but it is a belief in the Word of God which controls our behavior. I'm glad faith got a hold of me, and that's why I'm here this morning. I love to deer hunt. I'd love to be in a box stand this morning with a good cup of Starbucks. But Lord, I'm afraid that shooting house would fall over with me in it this morning. Faith will change you. Faith will get you to church, amen. Faith will make you dig down deep and do what the flesh can't do. And so He says faith is, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I have no doubt about that. God spoke it all into existence, and then on the seventh day He rested. And a lot of you believe in the bang theory probably out there in radio land, but I believe God said and it went bang, amen, it went boom, and it all happened. And so that's all we need, Brother Gerald, again, for God just to say something our way. Hope He says something our way this morning. We've seen in days gone by faith Abel. We found out that he worshipped by the blood. Aren't you glad that there's one way to Jesus, one way to heaven? And that's by the sacrifice on the cross, by Him shedding His blood. He didn't spill His blood. He shed His blood that we may go free. And so by faith Abel there, we see that he worshipped by the blood. Cain, his brother, brought an excellent and a good sacrifice. But it wasn't good enough. He gave the best that he had from the farm, from the fruits. But boy, Abel brought the firstlings of the flock. And God honored that sacrifice. And when he sees the blood, he honors the sacrifice. So he worshipped by the blood. Enoch, he walked by the book. Verse 5 said he was translated that he should not see death. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Boy, last Sunday morning I thought I was going to leave out of here preaching. Think about the parting tracks that he had. Said he walked with God. He walked around. You could look after he died and seen somebody else been walking with him. I wonder, after you die, are you going to have that parting testimony that somebody was a walking with you through this old world? And then not only do we see that Abel worshipped by the blood, and here we see that Enoch walked by the book, but this morning I want to preach on Noah. He worked on the boat. And the Bible said in verse number 7, by faith Noah, a very interesting Bible character, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What about that? He moved with fear. I've heard people say, preach, you ought not preach on hell and scare my children. You better pray that God in heaven fear comes on them and it moves them this morning. He moved with fear. We're missing that in our country. We don't think God's doing what He says He's going to do, but He's going to. And so He moved with fear. He prepared an ark. I like this, the saving of His house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Thank you for standing this morning. As I've already said today, I want to preach on Noah worked on the boat. Now thank God for people that have worked on the boat. We see that it all came by faith. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Isn't it something? God said this about you. And He said this about me. He said, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, the only way your faith is going to increase is by hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Not heard, but hearing. Hearing and hearing. Now, as much hearing as we've done, our faith ought to be big this morning. Because we have had preaching in this church. And I thank God for a place where you can go get preaching. We don't need puppet shows. We don't need drama teams. We need preaching back in the house of the Lord. And so we find, first of all, there was a frightful warning. In verse number 7, a frightful warning. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, it is a frightful warning today. And we hear a lot about, well, the world's going to come to an end, but not many people believe that anymore. Do you really believe there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? I sure do. Because the Bible speaks of a frightful warning. In Luke 16, the Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." You know, America don't believe in hell anymore. Brother Vince had talked about the generation of my father-in-law. He's soon to be 80, and in that generation of people, they believed in hell more than our generation believes this morning. Now, most of our generation, they know a lot about Hollywood, and they know about society, but they don't know much about biblical principles. Boy, our country's headed to a great fall. I mean, the Bible says it'll be a great fall in a way. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm just saying we're in the last days, but it is a great day to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people now, we would have never tolerated the Muslims to come to our country and preaching this heresy that's sweeping our countryside by the millions and thousands. Would you ever thought they'd have built a mosque down in the heartland of Tennessee or in Georgia? My goodness, we're in the Bible Belt. What happened to people about the frightful warning? Some of you don't believe that your children is going to die and go to hell without the blood of Jesus. Some of you don't believe what the Bible says because you show it in your walk this morning. It's a frightful warning. And I'm glad I heard about this frightful warning. Now, I realize that it takes the Holy Ghost to save sinners. The Bible says no man comes to Him except the one that has sent Him draw him. And He said, "I'll raise him up in the last day." I believe Jesus ought to be exalted higher than anything in the church. But you listen to me, there's a payday coming someday. And right now, you may have the world by the tail, but one of these days, the world's going to have you by yours. And you better believe you're going to need what this Bible says, the grace of God bestowed upon your life. You that are raising children, some of you really don't believe this book because your actions show it. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm mad at you." Get over me and apply the Word of God. I'm a preacher. I'm not a puppet. Hey, I like what these ladies that cut hair in our church say. Some of them have a slogan. "Honey, I'm not a magician, I'm a beautician." Some of you want to go in and get the looking better. They only work with so much. Somebody say amen right there. My goodness, some of you get mad because a preacher tell you the truth. If you'd line up with this book, you wouldn't get mad at your preacher. So there was a frightful warning. I want to say, first of all, there was a familiar mercy. Aren't you glad God is full of mercy? It amazes me how America's shaking their fist in the face of God and He's full of mercy. It amazes me the way some of us live and God is so full of mercy. Matter of fact, one of the greatest preachers, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, he had something to say about it in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. He said, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, that He counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4, this thing of familiar mercy, He says that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain find grace to help in time of need. Oh, how we need mercy. We don't need justice. I heard the Houston a lot of times out preaching. She got mad at the photographer and he is doing a wedding and boy, she could not believe them pictures that he had took of her. And she come and said, sir, these pictures don't do me justice. He said, hon, you don't need justice. My God, you need mercy. We need mercy back in our lives and our homes. We need mercy this morning. We don't need justice. You ought to thank God for mercy. Somebody one time rocked your world and said, God's not fair. God's not fair. If God is fair, we'd all be in hell this morning. We better thank God He's a God full of mercy and grace this morning. A lot of us have done enough this week to put us all in hell. But there is a God of mercy. And we better remember that before we're ever going to minister. We better remember this thing about mercy. You better realize, honey, you're not sitting on a limb above nobody. You're not better than nobody this morning. If it weren't for the grace and the mercy of God, we wouldn't even be here today to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is a God of mercy. I'm glad He's a God of... How many times have you said, Lord, I won't do it again, but you went and done it again? He's a God of mercy. You ought to thank Him He's a God of mercy this morning. A faithful warning. There's a familiar mercy. I'm glad God showed us mercy. I am so glad that I found out that I couldn't be baptized and wash my way into heaven. Glad I found out, Brother Troy, I couldn't work my way into heaven. But I had to be born again by the Spirit of God, dealt with by the grace and merciful hand of God. And I'm glad He still saves, old sinner. You listen to this old country preacher this morning, I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean and totally forgive you of your past and give you a great place this morning in the family of God. There is a God like no other, full of mercy. So there's a frightful warning. He said He moved with fear. There's familiar mercy, but there's also a future message. He said that He moved with fear, and He's being warned of God's things not seen as yet. A future message. Isn't it amazing how things are ironing out with this book? Isn't it amazing that God wrote this book thousands of years ago and it's coming to pass this morning exactly what He said that it would? A future message. But then there was a fearful move. The Bible said fear moved Him. I'm glad that I got fearful of God. The Bible says we ought to fear God. That means a respect. That means a reverence. By the way, I'm not a reverend. The Bible says there's one holy and reverend. Sometime they put the Reverend Ken Bowman. Hogwash. Honey, let me tell you, there's only one reverend and holy. And that's the darling Lamb of God that hung on a cross and took away the sin of this world. Holy and reverend, it is His name, what He said. My God, it is a name above all names this morning. Lord, I love preaching. Familiar mercy. Future message, fearful. Aren't you glad you heard an old preacher preaching this book? Fear moved on your heart, and by faith you moved toward Calvary. You know, that's what we're missing in our Baptist churches is the fear of God. I said the Wednesday night, some of you wouldn't hear, they went out in the cars in the parking lot and stole women's purses. You say, preacher, that's terrible. Oh, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd been doing the same thing. But there's no fear. Could you imagine back in the 20s or 30s, my dad-in-law said, they done what? Isn't it amazing you got to have an alarm on a place like this? Isn't it amazing how they'll go out here in the gazebo, Brother Tim, Brother Troy, and steal rockers off God's property? I'd hate to know I was going to stand before God and he pulled that book out. He said, you remember that little preacher over there in Bowden, Georgia, was going out in that gazebo between services and sitting in my rockers? You got them, and I wrote down the nights you got them, and now there's payday here someday. Well, let me tell you about this thing of gentleness. Just remember this, God wrote that down Wednesday night. He wrote it down. And He's still writing things down. And it's going to be brought to our remembrance one of these days. We've lost the fear of God in our land. We've lost it in our churches. People don't fear God anymore in this country as a whole. I know some of you do. Some of us do. But I'm going to tell you as a norm, they don't fear God. You better pray that fear would so enwrap your heart that it would move you toward Calvary and realize, dear God, this book is just what you said it was. He moved by fear. Oh, aren't you glad one day faith come knocking and let fear out of the car and run up there and knocked on your heart by fear, and by faith you access the good hand, the grace of God, and now you're saved by His mercy and His grace. That's amazing to me how faith come by and let fear out. I'm hunting fear to get on some of you. I like them phone calls at 11:30. Preacher, I'm lost. Preacher, I'm tired of this life. Oh my God, how we need fear back in our lives, in our homes. Some of you husband and wives, you don't have a lot of fear no more. You don't fear nothing about your children. Don't you realize your kids is following you? Where are you taking them? Fear. We see not only a frightful warning, but we see a faithful working. Bible said in verse number 7 that he moved with fear and he prepared an ark. That's amazing to me. I mean, that's amazing. This is one of the most amazing Bible stories. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 6. Said he moved with fear and he prepared an ark. I tell you what, God get on you just right, you'll do a lot of things you never thought you'd do too. I want you to look in Genesis 6, verse 14. There is an assigned duty. I want you to look what, I don't know if you ever caught this or not, but God said, make thee, not them. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. You know, before anything ever come on the scene in the mind of God, He had a plan. Calvary was not an ambulance coming to a rescue for sinners. Honey, before the foundation of the world, God seen us and realized that He had to have a plan. And He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross, the only thing that could appease a holy God. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms or nest shalt thou make in the ark. Shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Been a lot of pictures drawn of the ark, but I'm going to tell you, this was a dark thing. It was covered inside with pitch, which stands for atonement. Aren't you glad, honey, that when you get on the inside, you're safe with the Lord Jesus Christ? Assigned a duty, He said, make thee an ark. I want to say it was a sovereign plan. The sovereign in that plan. And then also there was sweat in that plan. He told him, he said, you know what? I want you to make an ark of gopher wood. Let me tell you, sometimes
I've never seen God call a lazy person to do anything. God don't use lazy people. You say, well, I'm tired. Have you ever asked God to use you? Hello then. Aren't you glad you feel used sometimes? Sometimes I feel so used. And I've prayed so many times, God, use me. I prayed it a while ago, God, use me. The sovereign in the plan, the sweat in the plan. What about the scorn in the plan? Told him to build an ark, and that leads me to the number two. Not only the assigned duty, but the acquired dimension. Look in verse 15. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it up. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50, the height of it 30. Now, these dimensions, talking about the scorn in the plan. The ark was 450 foot long. This church is 100 foot long, thereabout. It was 70 foot wide, 75 foot wide. This church is 50 foot wide, thereabout. This ark was 45 foot tall. I think Brother Rodney can tell better than me. I think down here it's probably, 22, 24, 26 foot tall. But this ark that God just told him to build, it's 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, and it's 45 foot tall. Can you imagine the scorn that Noah received? Could you imagine the Noah jokes going on down at the plant? Everybody showed up at break and said, hey, you heard about Noah. Said, it's never rained. He's smoking something. Said, he's crazy. Said he's built. Yeah, have you seen what he's a building down there crying a flood? Could you imagine the Noah jokes? Could you imagine when these little old young'uns went down to school, what they said? Hey, it's crazy. Said it's going to rain. It's never rained. You see, never fail. God had an underground irrigation system that worked like no other. But God said, it's fixing to rain, and I'm going to destroy all flesh that walks upon dry land. And Noah preached a preacher of righteousness 120 years, and he screamed, it's a payday coming someday! It's a payday coming someday! You better get in the ark! Better get in the ark! They laughed at him. Can you imagine? Don't you know what time it is, man? Won't you get with the program? This is 2010. You still preaching that old hellfire and brimstone stuff? Yes, sir. Sure are. Because let me tell you, there's a payday coming someday. Could you imagine the scorn that he faced when he walked in the drugstore and everybody was said, psst, 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 psst. I've done that in the cafes in Bowden. I thought surely sometime somebody would buy me and Renee's lunch down here at the barbecue place. But every time I turn around, they're talking about us. If you'll be a Christian, you ain't got to put a sign around your neck and say you're a Christian. Boy, the scorn. They laughed him. Could you imagine the Noah jokes? Talking about a faithful, faithful working. His duty, the dimensions. And then look at the door in verse 16. The Bible said, a window in the ark. By the way, it went all the way around it. And the door of the ark shall thou side thereof. Well, lower, second, third story shalt thou make it. In other words, he says, I want to be able to access all people so nobody will have an excuse of what's coming. Matter of fact, I believe that this door is a representation of the gospel. It says, come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. Aren't you glad that God's in charge of the door, but He made a door? And by the way, it was only one door. And it's still only one door. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Muslims aren't going to heaven. Listen to me. Muslims aren't going to heaven. Jesus is the way. He ain't a way. He's the way. All roads don't lead to heaven. It's one way, one door. And if you don't go through that door, you don't get in. Faithful working. His duty is to mention His door. Verse 17. Look at this alarming declaration. He said, "Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh." You mean God would do that? Yeah, He said He's going to do it, and He did it. And by the way, that ain't all what God said. That ought, not only did it bring great motivation to Noah, it ought to bring great motivation to us this morning. And this alarming declaration. You know, God's done said something for this generation. Not only that generation that was destroyed in the flood, but look what He said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come." There's no if there. "And it will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved or melted, where persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation," that word's behavior, "and godliness, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved or melted, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." This morning, that ought to be a motivating factor to us. Mom and daddies, listen to this preacher this morning. It ought to be such a motivational factor to you. It ought to be dawning on you. If I don't live for Christ, my kids are following me where I'm going. And your children's got to be saved by the grace of God. You see, this building's going to burn up. All that property and bonds and 401k you got, it's just going to poof. Just going to poof. And this is what amazes me. How many bills do you get through the year on insurance? Your house and your cars, fire insurance. Why don't you get the best insurance you could ever have, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ? You'll protect an automobile that's going to burn up, but you won't do nothing about your soul. That don't make good sense. Thirdly, not only is there a frightful warning for working, but verse 7, there's a favored witness, 11. Look what he said. "See, who with fear prepared an ark even of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith." Favored witness. Now, first of all, we see that he built things by faith. That's the only way we're going to have a church. That's the only way you're going to have a home. That's the only way you're going to have anything that's going to last, and that is by faith. Number two, not only do we see a building by faith, but we see the benefits of a family. He said, you know what? Because he believed it led to the saving of his house. Now let's think about something this morning. I'm fixing to be done. I really am. I want you to think about something. What more could Noah leave his family than faith? He could have left them finance, and we all know how kids handle finance. He'd been gone in a year. He could have left them a great education. I love what Brother Vince said this morning in this church. I'm not against education. I need more. And I try to learn more every week. A man that cannot be taught cannot teach. It's my goal that I apply myself every week in my study and to be taught things that I've never known. Ignorance is no excuse. But you listen. He said, "I'm not a real educated man." But he's got something education can't do. Noah could have left them a great school. He could have left them property as far as you can see. Just as far as you... This is what amazes me about people. Things. We're so caught up about things. Things is going to burn up. Whatever we do for God is going to last. What more could he have left his family than faith? What more? You know, I have one of the greatest opportunities. Now, I want to be careful the way I say things about quitting the job I had. I'm the richest man in this building this morning. Now, my P&L probably won't match yours. Checkbook probably won't hold yours. But I've got things, honey, that this world knows nothing about. If I left my kids $1 million each and didn't leave them faith, I've robbed them. I've robbed them. Far as I know, my two girls are saved. They have a testimony they got saved. Now they're raising my grandchildren. Is there a price on that? What better thing, Nick, could I leave my kids than faith? What better things? Sir, what better things can you do than to leave your children faith? Me and my wife's getting ready for dying. Isn't that something? Riding a bicycle now, getting ready for dying. I mean, wasn't long ago I was hunting my driver's license. Now I'm thinking about dying. Talked to a man, he said, "What do you want to leave your kids?" I said, "Nothing." Ain't that a blessing? They're going to do like me and mama done. They're going to work. I said, "We're leaving them something, sir. You know, not a lot about. I don't want to be senile, and I'm not against leaving your children something to help them. Thank God we can do that. Thank God we're so blessed we can do it. But let me tell you something. I don't care what I leave them materially, it'll be gone. Matter of fact, one of them done. One of them done told me I better be learning how to play bingo. I know y'all ain't raised none like that. Some of y'all get that in a little bit. Ain't a sight, Brother Randall. All jokes aside, what more could you leave your young'uns than faith? Brother Tim said this morning, we listen to preaching all the time. But he said he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his. I hope I could find this. I just hope I can find it in a minute. Here it is. 2 Peter 2 and 4. If God spared not the angels of sin, cast them down to hell, deliver them chains of darkness, be reserved to judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. His eight of them got saved. Why is he the eighth? Why did he say he was the eighth person? Say, I'll never forget what the Lord showed me about that. He's the last one to go in. I guarantee you, when God said, "Come thou in the ark," I guarantee you this is what happened. When God opened that door on the side of that ark, Noah stepped back and he watched them one by one come through. And don't you know a man's preached 120 years, Brother Tim turned around and said, "Surely somebody else is coming." Said he's a preacher of righteousness. Don't you know he took one farewell look at that world and said, "Surely there's somebody that's coming." Now, I want to help the Baptist Association this morning. How many converts did he have 120 years? They didn't replace him, did they? I hear congregations going to get rid of preachers because ain't nobody getting saved. That ain't the preacher's business. We'd have preached the gospel. That's the Holy Ghost's job. I wonder what the big Baptist prideful boys would have said about Noah at the luncheon. How many of you had saved, Noah? 7. How many years you been preaching? 120. I'm sure some of them old crazy church members said, we need a new preacher around here. He's got old. I can still lap some of you young'uns.
Amen.
Don't let this face fool you. Miss Julia, you come, won't you play? Tell my children all my heart this morning. Don't know nothing more me and Mama can leave them than what we've left them. Miss Flo Faith. They can look back and say, I tell you how Mama and Daddy made it. Faith. Some of you ain't been saved long, but you know what you can do? You can leave them faith now. Some of you need help. He said, come to the throne of grace boldly that you may obtain mercy. I don't know about y'all, but I need mercy. My family needs mercy. I got my altar this morning and I prayed God for my children, my son-in-laws and my grandbabies, my church family. God, how we need mercy. What you need this morning. This altar is open. I'm done preaching. You just mind the Spirit of God. Whatever you need this morning, you come. I don't know what you need. But the altar is open and Christ loves you. And I know it's nothing too hard for the Lord. Daddy, some of you ought to grab. You ought to grab your bootlaces up and say, you know what? What more could I leave my young'uns than faith? What more? What more? He moved with fear. I wish fear would come on some of you and move you toward Him, that you could have a life that only this life of faith can give. I know Jesus saves. I know Jesus heals. I know Jesus can. But you'll have to come to Him and trust Him this morning.